Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host and producer, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful for all of you that can and have joined us tonight. And I look forward to hear from our gracious co-host, as well as our regular callers. This is a podcast show in a radio format designed to provide national dialogue. Sponsored by Building Families and Communities Institute, or BFC, as you've heard in the advertisement there. Our website, again, for reiteration, is www.bfcinstitute.com. I can use your help to spread the word and to get our seminar and lecture series out. On the website, you'll find that we have a couple of initiatives, a local initiative for Nashville, Tennessee, and then some things that are designed for our national audience. But they're all geared toward the effort to help improve the overall quality of life for youth across urban America who are confronted with particular challenges such as school dropout, things like the threat to violence, street violence, and gang activity, and things of that nature, incarceration. We can and should and will strive to avoid those things. So please assist us in our effort there. We're a 501c3 nonprofit-based organization, and BFC Institute is the research arm. All righty. Having said that, the number to give us a call here tonight is 657-383-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944. If you're joining us for the first time, we welcome your question, your comment. All we ask is that you keep it relevant and show respect to all of our callers here. We do try to maintain a certain decorum here on the show, and we definitely value your input. Okay, having said that, we will move on. Again, I hope to hear from Pastor Ricky Waller. It looks like we have a few callers in queue already. We'll be right with you. I'm going to offer a monologue, as we do customarily, that will give us context for our topic tonight. And during our last episode, we discussed the means of putting a broken family back together. However, in reality, there's a very closely related matter. far too long in far too many families and communities, there have been brothers and sisters, who have come out wounded. They often don't know why or how they got to be in pain. While their reaction to their hurt may be socially disruptive and even offensive to others, their neighbors, they're crying out for family and friends to help them get through their abrasions. And that brings us to our topic tonight, which is very simply, how to help your brother heal. How to help your brother heal. Luke, the 22nd chapter in the 31st through the 32nd verses read, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." When you see an individual who struggles with drugs, alcohol, sex, gambling, or any other type of vices or social ills that keep them from being normal and functioning normally, it's not that they're a bad person. Even those that engage in violence, I submit to you that they're hurting some kind of way, and their outward behavior and actions is the greatest indication of the intensity of their pain. We want to talk tonight about how to help a brother heal. Let me give a definition of healing here for context. And it means to cause a wound, an injury, or a person. So it has application in those three ways. Either way, though, to become sound or healthy again. And I want to emphasize the fact that there is an unhealthy quality to their condition. And when you help them or they become healed, they become back to normal status and health. Goes on further to suggest that it means to alleviate that person's distress, pain, or anguish. Okay? When attempting to help a friend or family overcome any type of crisis, pain, or a wound, consider the following factors of the healing process. It's how you know when they're on the road to healing. Now, let me just say it's not necessary, as some people find themselves doing quite often, to stand on the soapbox and to announce to anybody other than your brother. Sometimes they're so out of sync with reality, they can't even hear you. But it's not necessary to announce your intent to offer assistance to them. And I said assistance, not taking over. This approach will allow for the maim, the harm, the hurt, to maintain both privacy and self-dignity throughout the process of healing. People don't need you to open up a Pandora's box and to tell everybody about what you're doing for them and share all of their business, their issues with them. Because y'all know how folk are. Sometimes they're not there because they really want to help you. Smiling faces sometimes tell lies. Perhaps the most important thing you can do for your brother, though, in the process, is to walk him through the answering of certain questions, okay? And let me just share this with you. This is the basis of my monologue, and the OJs has a very, very important and powerful message, I think, that they offer that can help us all. My good friend, Pastor Ricky Waller, he seems to favor the OJs over a lot of people, and I think for good reason. And you'll understand a little bit probably here why. Maybe I'll get to ask him about that. But anyway, these are some things that you want to help your brother get through. If he answers these questions, and these are not all inclusive, but I believe that this will be a good indicator that he's on the road to recovery. First of all, why am I facing this pain, this hurt? In other words, what's the root cause of it? You say, a lot of times people say, I'm a drug addict, I'm an alcoholic, and that's the cause of my problem. I would argue that that's not your cause. That's how you medicate it. But there's something else going on in your life that caused you to find some kind of way to medicate your pain. Huh? So we need to really discover what the cause of it is and be honest with ourselves in that process. Then we need to examine the condition in which the pain is able to affect us. In other words, if I'm standing in fire or standing on nails, the clearest solution is to get off the nails. Are y'all walking with me? So what kind of conditions are you placing yourself in, right? Help your brother to come to that realization. Then he needs to ask himself, how do I avoid continuously being in this situation and be on the road to overcoming whatever the object, that thing is that causes my pain or my emptiness? See, people lie to themselves and say, I need such and such to make myself feel better, to make it go away. The truth of the matter is you need to have the courage to confront it. A German theologian by the name of Paul Tillich wrote a book entitled The Courage to Be. And his primary thesis is that you must find the courage within yourself to say that I'm going to exist as a happy and a whole individual. All right? So it's necessary that he ask himself, how can I avoid this? And how do I become, how do I get on that road to redemption, overcoming my pain, my emptiness? That requires you to do like the Bible said, Romans 8:3. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth. See, I'm not saying look for religion. I said seek for the truth, because the truth will make you free. I wish I had a witness here today. You have to reconstruct your life. Sometimes we think because we're chronologically grown, we got it all together. Can't nobody tell us that. But if you ask Nicodemus, he'll tell you that the Savior redirected him in all of his education and all of his status and clout to come to the thought that you must be born again. I didn't come to preach, but I'm feeling my help right now. See, you've got to start all over. Because, see, if everything was all right and you were on top of the world, you wouldn't be where you are. Again, the point of us pulling our brother aside and away from everybody else is to help him face these hard realities without being further embarrassed. All right? But he must be able to face the truth. Look yourself in the mirror and say, I have got some things I've got to change. Then the question he must ask and help me answer. And you notice I'm not saying the person that's helping him is asking or answering these questions. I'm saying he got to do it. He got to both ask himself and answer to himself before God, for Elohim, the Creator. Okay? Where do I go from where I am now? I know where I am now, and I'm not happy with the way I am. And I want to change. I'm hurting. Where do I go from here? That means you have to future pace and ask yourself, what am I willing to do, and what are the steps necessary for my change to move from one point to the next? All right. Then lastly, what is the point that your brother who's trying to help you should get out of your way? I wish that. Listen, let me say that one more time. Listen, you need to understand that anybody that tells you, I want to help you, And they suggest to you that their help is limitless. In other words, there's no point where they stop helping you. You can only exist with them being able to be there for you and do certain things. They lying to you. What did you say, doctor? I said they lying, and the truth ain't in them. When you search for the truth, you'll realize that my help comes from the hill from which I look to. All of my help. I wish that, man, I feel like preaching right now, but I can't come to preach tonight. Listen, all of my help comes from the Creator, from the Almighty. I appreciate you, what you're trying to do. But at some point, you got to get out of my way because I have to learn to get out of my own way. When is that point that you step out of the way and let your brother complete the healing process? There must be limits. He must take on personal responsibility for his own salvation. And if he is not willing to do it himself, not even God, will be able to be made manifest through him. I know we were talking in the masculine tone or voice, but this applies to sisters as well. But our topic tonight is how to heal, how to help your brother heal. Let's sum it up. You've got to simply encourage and motivate him to be honest, ask and answer those important questions for himself. Listen briefly to what the OJ said. They have a song that was simply entitled A Prayer. And I'm just going to play a little bit of it. But listen to what these brothers are saying. They went deep on it, as always.
Sometimes I walk around and I pray. Keep the children praying. Sometimes I lay flat on my back.
Yeah.
And I pray. And I pray.
Pray.
Well, and I have come. I have come here. Teach me how to pray.
Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Ruben Dockery. We're going to get right at it. How to help your brother heal. Don't hurt him. Help him. I got Pastor Ricky Waller on the line with me. How you doing, Pastor?
All right. What's going on?
Mighty fan. I got a question for you in just a little bit. Let me introduce these other callers. Brother Don out of South Alabama. How you doing, big brother?
Hey, man, I feel good today, Mr. Dockery, you know.
Watch out, man.
I just feel so good, man. Ooh.
Praise him.
And
praise
then, you, then oh, now we're going to say something. You get on air tonight, boy. You out there, ain't you?
Well, praise God. God be the glory.
Boy, it seems like you're feeling good.
Right, yeah, we're going to get this right, big brother. We're going to get this right. And look, that's in Florida. Straight out of Florida, 3072, a.k.a. Dr. Roma. How you doing, Dr. Roma?
Hi, everybody. How you doing?
We are speaking about how to help your brother heal. Now, I know that the basic social service model has it that people come to you, they got to be stupid, blind, crippled, and crazy, and they can't talk like they got no kind of sense. Otherwise, they don't qualify. I think you're hurting them myself, but I want y'all to help me with this tonight, okay? You heard my monologue. Where did I go wrong, Don?
Oh, I didn't think no way. I think you're very joyful and happy just to be living. I think you're just enjoying the Holy Spirit as it dwells over you and in you. And there's nothing wrong with it.
Okay. Well, but talk to me about this monologue, about the thing we set up for our discussion tonight. if you're going to help your brother, you got to force him, not force him, but encourage him to ask and answer those questions that I laid out. I assume you heard those. What do you think about that?
Today, Mr. Dockery, I experienced something today, and I experienced something last night. And I see the enemy trying to divide my family. So today, I talked to my family about how the enemy is trying to divide them. And, Mr. Dockery, I finally found some brothers here that got a charter from them for the Morris Divine National Movement. And first thing I heard was division within the family. You know what I'm saying? And once I heard that division, I had to bring in the point of, you know, brother, I like what you got. Brother, I like what you got. Brother, I like what you got. All of it's good. Look, it's like turnip greens, cornbread, macaroni and cheese. I'm like, why y'all fussing? I'm baby in the house, and that boy, it sure tastes good to me. So I don't know what to fuss about. You, what you got is good. What you got is good. And I mean, man, I like, Mr. Doc, I got so full, man, I just broke out and started crying. It was so good.
All right. That'll preach right there. That'll preach right there, brother. That'll preach. I love it. What about that, Pastor Waller?
Wait, can you say that again?
What about that, man?
Run that back again. What about what?
Did you hear what Brother Don was saying?
No, what part of it that I need to respond to it? Because, you know, I want to make sure I get that right.
Well, basically, he was saying that he noticed that the enemy was trying to divide his family. But he responded by telling his members of his family, I love what all y'all got. We gonna make ourselves a meal with what we have to offer. I'm paraphrasing a little bit of what he said.
Yeah,
he talked about turnip greens, mashed potatoes, sweet. I mean, yeah, he made me hungry.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that I heard it correctly because, see, when you put it all together and stir it up, I mean, that's basically a word, you know, because you say stir up the gifts for the family as a whole. You know, if you stir up the gifts, then everything going to work itself out. Because where there's two or three gathered together in his name, sitting in the grid, you know, you say he'll be in the midst of it. So it's being in the midst means it's good to stir it up. And so that means that the enemy don't have the power to separate you from the love that you have one toward another.
All right.
I heard something that was said. A friend of mine wanted to ask a question concerning what the brother was saying about some in particular, and I'm going to let him ask it, you know, if it's all right.
Okay, sure.
To let him ask this question, your brother Don.
Okay.
Hold on a second.
I'm coming to you, 372. Go ahead, Steph Pastor.
Yeah, I heard somebody mention the Morris Divine. What brother was that in what city?
He's out of Go ahead, Don.
He's out of Huntsville, Alabama. His brother, he's the Grand Governor Anderson Neal. And
out of Huntsville, Alabama.
He's very in tune. He's very, very in tune.
Who? What can be coming out of Baltimore? Temple number one or Temple number 13?
He's not out of Baltimore, but I do know a brother over there named Joel Braxton Bates. And that brother's in tune. So, but, you know, I seen how the enemy had them divided, the one in Huntsville, over against the one in Baltimore. And I said, guess what? I done read your piece. Man, that show is good. And the brother over here saying what he's saying, man, and what he that show is good. All of it's good to me. You know what I'm saying? I'm being honest. You know, I'm baby in the house, and I'm telling you, Dad, the meal is good.
Yeah. Okay.
And I love all of it.
I'm
telling you now, it's all of it good.
Appreciate you calling.
You got the flow back now. So,
okay.
Yeah, he just wants to find out what he's talking about.
Okay, well, we appreciate him tuning in. Let's go to 3072, lest we bore her tires.
372,
what
no, you? You're not. You're not boring me. Now, what was those questions? Because oftentimes I miss the monologue.
Okay. We appreciate you. I know work has got you moving there. We appreciate you tuning into it. So the few questions that I suggest that you got to help your brother ask and answer is, one, is why am I facing this pain, this hurt that I'm going through, that I need to heal from, right? What's the root cause? And what are the conditions that led me there? All right, that's one. Then the other is, how do I avoid and overcome, keep doing the same thing so that I'm hurt? And I suggested that you need to encourage your brother to search for the truth, not lie to him, and not give him one drug to cover up another, but you need to tell him the truth. And he has to learn that you, even though you're chronologically grown, if you're hurting like that and you're out of control, you got to be reborn again. That's what Nicodemus learned. All right? And then 30, the last two, 37-2, is where do I go from here? Sometimes we have to move from where we are in order to get where we want to be. And that one thing I find is that a lot of people in urban America are afraid to leave the trap that they're in. But you got to make up your mind, I'm moving from here. So then lastly, 3072, is at what point do the person that say I'm helping you get out the way and let you do it for yourself? All right. Now, we can go back and cover those again if you need me to.
No. So those are all, you were saying, where did you go wrong? I don't think you went wrong anywhere. Those are legitimate things to consider. If I were the one crying out and asking for help, I would take that and run with it. I think the first part, or one of the first questions you was asking is, how did I get caught up in this? Why? And then about being reborn again. I mean, a lot of people run away from that concept because they think it means I have to just not do nothing in my life. And, you know, people are scared to go to church because of the statement being reborn again. Well, that means no, it's not taking anything to an extreme, but it is in a way because you do have to come fresh, new, and dumb even. To a certain extent. To be able to learn all over again, up the other things, and relearn out like a baby. Like a baby. Be taught how to walk, how to talk, you know, how to think, So all of those things, I think, are great questions. And being reborn, man, that's like a gift. It's a whole new life, another chance to get it right. So with that, to me, that sounds encouraging, and it's hopeful that I can possibly succeed higher than where I was even.
You know, 3072, when I was campaigning recently, I was next to another fellow who was running for another office, and he says, man, you got to stop all that stuff talking about you trying to educate these people. They don't want to hear all that, man. You gotta make them feel good so they can come out and vote for you. And I said to him, the basis of my leadership is not to blindly control people and manipulate them, but to empower them to think of themselves. Now, what you do to get them, it's the same thing you got to do to keep them. I think there's a songwriter out there, a group out there, that call themselves the problem solvers. That's what they said. The same thing you did to get them, you got to do the same thing to keep them. What about that, Pastor Wallace?
Yeah, well, you get a message that's in that music, man, and it makes it. So you have to do what it's on thing for them. I mean, I listen to the music. And I know you said something earlier, you know, that you was going to ask me about when you come down to where I have the OCD.
It's
such a high standard. And I would say because of the message in the music, you know, this is what they said. And, you know, there was two things about it. You know, they kept an eye attention. You know, and I said earlier, you know, I got captured because of it, but I also got free. because of the song and the message in it. So it was a twofold thing. It's all about, you know, he said, open your ears and listen here. You'll understand why you're dancing. So I have to understand why I listen to the music that I listen to, because if it has a message in it that's going to be beneficial, then that's why I favor them like I do. Not because they're better than nobody. It's just something that I've gotten out of it that caused me to know. But that's what I'm looking for, a message in whatever it is that's going on, because there's a message in it. Open your ears and listen here and understand why you're doing it. I mean, that is volume to me, man. So, you know, that's like I won't go back to what I used to do because I understand now what it done to me. So, you know, that was a strong message. Yeah, so
right.
I get them that far. Yeah.
Let me ask Don. Don, you were talking about how when you were facing this challenge of what appeared to be a threat to your family, you didn't allow that to overcome you, but you found joy in the knowledge that there's some good in everybody, even though it sounds like we're saying different things. And when I think about helping brothers heal, it's important for us to realize that there's no big eyes and no little U's. We're all on the same level. What about that, Don?
That's true, Mr. Dockery. The earth is the Lord's, it's not us. He give us each part to steward it, but the earth belongs to Him.
Don, I'm glad you said that. Let me pose this question to you, Don. And this came from the beginning of the monologue. Luke 22, and I'm just going to go back to 33. Let me go back to 31, Don. The Savior is talking here, and he says to Simon, he says, and I'm paraphrasing, Simon, the devil, he wants to get you trapped up. He want to cause you to move from place to place and be all over the place, Don, and be confused. But watch what he said, Don. The Savior himself prayed for him. And then he went on to say that your faith will not fail. And when you are converted, strengthen the brother. Now, what's wrong with us? Why we don't want to strengthen one another?
Like you said, you hit the point. Certain brothers have not been converted. You know what I'm saying? They have to go through that process. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Each individual had to go through that process.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They got to have that, what you call that, self-experience for themselves.
Okay. So is it fair,
you know what I'm saying,
guys? Is it fair to say that everybody don't have any business calling themselves helping you? Is that fair to say? 31, 32,
yes.
And Pastor Waller?
Yeah.
Everybody ain't got no business.
Yes.
You ain't got no business letting everybody get in your business and put their hands on them.
Yes, that is quite fair to say.
Because some people don't mean you no harm, do they? They don't mean you any good,
no.
Do they?
No. And maybe they mean you good, but they're in a harmful place themselves and don't realize.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know,
wow.
They don't realize that, man, I'm in no position to be giving advice, and I'm working on my fourth marriage. You know what I'm saying? And that was a rocky turn. Like, okay, well, all I could do is sit up and listen to you. I can shed a tear or two with you, but what to do? I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. I'm trying to figure that one out. Maybe we can learn.
Well,
go find some help together.
Let me say this though. Let's use your analogy. If I'm on my fourth marriage, I at least know how to tell a young cat not to lose the first one.
That's depending on the situation, even.
But you know what that would require, don't you, 3072? That would require
that?
The individual to be honest themselves
about
the fact that what happens is we have a tendency to put the blame somewhere else. Other than where it really lies. And when you say to yourself, son, I can tell you how not to mess up your marriage because I done messed up four of them. It's not. That, it may be my wife's son, but it ain't just her. I got something to do with that.
True that.
Now, and if I'm honest, I can tell you, don't do like I did, because that'll you man, you know, you come up shout like that. And it's interesting.
I have
because. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say it's very interesting. Don't lose your thought, please. Very interesting because even in church, there are a lot of people who assume that because of your title, people should automatically place their trust and confidence in you. Now,
agreed.
I don't want to question God's ability to work through anybody. That's not my intent. But we clearly
right.
see, this is a good example that you're using. We clearly see that there are some inequities in other folks' lives, and you don't seem like you matured and mastered certain things yourself, so maybe I shouldn't be opening myself up to you like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What were you going to say, 30 seconds, Jim?
I was going to say I'm going through a similar situation. I don't know why people just find me to sit down and, man, get naked in front of. They tell me everything, and I like, okay, I was telling you about the lady that I thought was trying to do some harm to me with needing a ride home and all that, where I met another coworker. Well, anyway, she's having man problems. He burnt her stuff up. I'm taking you back and forth to work, this and that. Why? Right. So sometimes, like you said, people don't want help. They just want somebody to listen.
Okay.
Because the help I've been trying to give you is, for one, you need to file a police report, get a restraining order. Two, you need to just dismiss that.
Okay.
Secondly, I mean, he don't seem like he is really to your advantage to even try to keep around. You don't have a car, and you're relying on somebody else to take you. Does he work? You know, you get quiet then. But so with that, like you're saying, trying to help people, so how do I help you? I can't help you because you won't make those steps that I'm trying to give you to help yourself.
I see what you're saying.
So, and if you're not careful, you'll be pulled in to the same, that situation. I'm not, right. So really there's nothing else I can tell you, honestly. I really wish you would stop talking to me about it because I'm not finna go and sit in the house and be burnt up with you with him. Right. So, and I'm honestly tired of taking you to work. Yeah, I mean, what can you do? What?
Okay.
No, I'm not going to be around. That's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to be around that.
I get you.
So,
I get you.
What do you do? That's the question. How do people help then?
That question. That's a very good question. Did you want to say something, Pastor, or Don?
Mm-hmm.
Well, go ahead, Don. What were you going to say? Looks like we lost Pastor Waller there. Don, what were you going
to say? I'm listening to the dialogue. The dialogue is very good.
Okay.
I'm listening. I'm just listening now, Mr. Docker. I'm listening.
All right, that's good. So I appreciate what you're saying, 3072, because in reality, you ask the question, how do you help when people don't want to accept what you have? And you're right. Sometimes it's just a listening ear or a shoulder to lean on. But at some point, if you're not careful, you will wear yourself out with people's stuff.
Yep.
Now, so the truth of it, let's use the example of the paralytic at the pool of Bethesda, right? Dude been there for 30-some years, making the same excuse, Don, for why he hadn't got his black behind, his tail off in the water. And what the Savior said to him simply is, he asked him, do you want to be made whole? Did you see how you processed them, 3072? See, when you process something, you lay stuff out. And as you lay it out, you have to look at it and realize it exists. All of us got a bag of stuff that we carry around with us, Don, and that's what we call our life experience. When we look at Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. I want to put a pin by substance. That's your stuff. That's your junk, your mess. And your faith is based on what you've been through and how you've come through your mess over the years. You know what your we know what our mess is, don't we, Don?
Mm-hmm.
Even if other folks don't know the truth, we know what our mess is. Watch this, the Savior, the Almighty know it too because he sees it. But my point is that people have to process themselves, and that was the point of the questions that were asked, 3072, is if a man is not willing to search himself, he'll never find the answers that he's looking for. That's deep right there. Pastor, you got your with us there. Pastor Wallace, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I'm right here, brother.
Okay, it looked like we lost you there for a second. Jump in any time there, bro, Pastor.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So let me go back over something here that we suggested, Don, at the very beginning. And that is that when you're asking a question, why am I here, right? Don, who do we hold accountable for our shortfalling or the things that we didn't learn to prepare us?
The acknowledgement is yourself, Mr. Dockley. I think when you come of certain maturity, you should know that if you don't have the skills to do what you need to do, you need to go learn those skills, acquire those skills, and do what you need to do.
Yeah. See, Don, that's the main, I believe, that is the main barrier to self-improvement is when you assume that your mama, your daddy, the preacher, or even your family are supposed to carry certain loads of information, or they're responsible for looking out for you in that way. You understand what I'm saying? The text tells us, study to show thyself approved, right? And it goes on to say that a workman that need not be ashamed. Now, what that said to me is that as you're saying, Don, as you grow older, at some point you should have sought out information, right? Process that information. And come to a point of conclusion that certain things I'm not going to I told my wife, 3072, you know, one time we were just talking. I said, you know, one thing you don't ever have to worry about me doing or hearing me do, and that is being in the club.
Right.
She said, what? I said, no. She said, okay. I said, largely because there's nothing a strip club has to offer me. It cannot require the knowledge and the information that I've learned about engaging with. You understand what I'm saying? I know what strip clubs are designed for. And can I talk straight tonight, y'all? They're designed for individuals who are looking for a part of themselves in what goes on in the club. They're looking for validation and fulfillment to some aspect of their manhood. Can I tell you? Let me say this right, because this is talk straight, but I don't want to say this the wrong way, Don. But sex don't rule the world. Can I get a witness? It's an essential part of who we are, but it should not control all of your life. And when you get to that point where it does, and it's not that we just use that as an example. When you get to that point where it does, that's where the imbalance comes in our lives. See, and what a lot of people do, a lot of brothers do, to medicate their hurt and their pain is they go from one relationship to another. They do that in church too, Brother Don. When one church don't fulfill a certain need, they leave there and go what? Hop at
to another church.
And when that one don't medicate their need, they go and hop to a what? Another church.
Another church.
And eventually, guess what they're saying about God? He ain't real. Well, from the very beginning, your quest and your search was wrong from the get-go. Now, when you start seeking the truth that'll make you free, guess what? You'll realize that it's not so much in a group of other people, but it's in your relationship with the Almighty. And that requires you to study and to what? Process information. We're talking about how to help your brother heal. The number 657-383-0944. Give us a call here if you want to join us here. Grateful to have our callers online with us there. Pastor Wallace, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
I can hear you.
Can you talk to me a little? Can you talk to me a little bit about an individual who failed and had a setback, Pastor, and they're in need of just a little bit of encouragement, but they don't need nobody to try to take over their whole life. Tell me about that.
Right.
How does that work?
Yeah, when a person is down and needs you to build them up, to lift them up, you know, and I think what builds and lifts a person up is truth. You know,
wow.
I mean, they're experiencing a lot of that in the truth. There's been many people who have had those fallings, if you will, by way of the multitudes of them I've seen do that. And instead of me beating them down, continue to live by way of an example, because I understand, I dedicated my book to the people that I understand. And so I understand what it's like to be down. And that's what I would say. I would say, look, books are still available, you know, and God is still the same God that he can do for you what you are unable to do for yourself. And the thing that I'll let them know what I've done and how I was able to maintain, and I would share something like this to them. You know, some people would say never, never say never. And that concept of saying that, some people can gravitate to that and think that you can't say never. And in my case, whatever I was delivered from, I would say I'm never going to go back to it again. And
I
share that with them to let them know that it's possible. And then I use a scripture. I say, like, for instance, Luke chapter 1, verse 37, where it says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. So it's not impossible for me to say never. I can say I'm never going to smoke another cigarette. I can say I'm never going to do any more heroin. I can say that. I have my right. Now, whether you believe it or not, that's on you, but I still have my right. And that's what I would share with them, to let them know that, you know, that helps me to stand fast. I understand that, man, you know, it's not something that they deserve by beating them down. No, so that was my take on it, man. I just encourage them and say that example to keep hope alive, as you said in Hebrews 11:1. You know, faith that the suffering of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so, you know, you put that out there very well, and there is evidence that you can say never and apply it in your life and be successful with it day in and day out.
So wait a minute now.
That's my...
Wait a minute now, Don.
Yes, sir.
You know, I mean, wait a minute, Pastor. What you're suggesting to me that somebody ain't right when they say you always going to be an addict. Once an addict, always. You mean tell me that's not true?
Yeah. No, I don't get with that. When I'm delivered, it's over. There's no more of that. You know, and that's
my
the thing
God.
About some people keep... See, why would I speak a lie to myself, you know, continually, knowing good and well that if I'm free from it, why should I keep claiming it? You know, and that's the thing that I've heard a lot of people do, and you said it earlier as well. You know, some people would say that I am a addict and this and that and other, and I mean, and I hear them say it a lot, and I allow people to be where they are in order for them to get where they're going. But if it worked for you, go ahead and say it, but I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that, and I'm not going to do God like that, because I'm sure he wouldn't want me to go around here saying something. If he delivered me from the drugs, why would I say that I'm still doing it? You know, if I say I'm an addict, if I say I'm a drug addict, that means I'm still doing it.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't like saying it, even though I hear a lot of people say it.
Can I play the devil's advocate here, Pastor? So,
do your thing.
So the other side of the story is, Don, is that you don't want to be dishonest with yourself about the possibility that you can become overwhelmed and relapse. So that's why you say it's always possible for that. Pastor, are you telling me that you can speak definitively and say, no, I'm done with this. It's over.
Yeah. I mean, it's my right. I have a right to say that. You know?
Wait a minute, man.
Yeah, don't take my rights from me. You know what I mean? Especially when it worked for me. You know,
nah.
if I keep saying I'm a drug addict, I'm gonna mess around and pick it up.
What about that?
I agree. You know, once you finish with something, you finish with it. That's the way I feel about that too.
No,
you know, I've been.
I agree.
Yeah, I just
so,
you know.
So what if the enemy come and rub your head just right in the right spot? Then what?
Okay, then can I?
Yeah,
go ahead.
37-2. Put it on him.
Yeah, I was gonna say that I agree with Pastor Walla all the way. So to take ownership will be what you'll be doing by saying I'm a recovering drug addict. Even it means that this is my identity, and
right.
you're gonna make sure that you maintain your identity. Now, for you to say that I'm not a drug addict anymore, I'm not doing that. Just because you slipped. And maybe you have a relapse or so, doesn't mean that you a drug addict. It means that only if you telling yourself that this is what I am, you fall down, you get back up. Keep reminding yourself that this is not who I am. That's not me.
Wait a minute.
And eventually,
y'all messing me up here now. So
she right on
what
target.
You saying? So what y'all saying is that Solomon was right when he wrote in Proverbs 23rd chapter. But so as he thinketh in his heart,
that,
so is
yes.
Watch it now.
Wait, I mean, you look
wait
at.
A minute. So go ahead.
I was gonna say, like, even in a negative aspect, look at a dope dealer. He say he a baller, shot caller, he this, he that. He's going to make sure,
right.
even if he a broke and petty one, but he going to live up to his highest potential and what he claiming to be. He going to do that.
Some of them are not even real like that. Some of them ain't even real in the game. You know what I mean? They ain't true to the game.
Exactly. Yeah, she's right on target, man. She's right on target. She's hitting it right where it need to be at. You know, why
do
you want to claim something that you're not?
Right, right. Pastor, here's the core, I believe, of what you're saying. And this kind of goes back to the monologue in terms of processing yourself through certain things. And that is, where is my heart?
Uh-huh.
Where is my heart? Even though... Even though calamity hit me and it disrupts where I was trying to go, the question is, where is my heart? And a good example of that, Don, is Brother Job, Yaakov. And you know Yaakov in the Hebrew, Don. You know what Yaakov said? He said, listen, sitting around with a bunch of his so-called friends, Pastor Waller. These were his friends now. Come on, man. You know you done something. Come on, man. What's up, man? What you done? You had to do something, man. And even his old lady, 37, too, told him, listen, I'm tired of looking at you. Don't curse God and die. Get it over with.
Right.
Look at where his heart was, though. Look at where his heart was. He said, though he slay me, none, yet will I trust him. Then he went on to say, I'm going to wait until not done came, not my brother who claimed he can help me, but wait until my chain comes. That's what he said. Now, how do you know when it's your time? Don, how do you know when it's your time?
Huh?
How do you know when it's your time? Huh?
Okay.
You'll know it. You'll know when the Father really revealed to you. You'll know it. You know, the Spirit, you know, when you're in the Spirit, you know, you just know. You know as you know what you know. You know, just like I was saying, you know, yesterday, Mr. Doctor, I seen the enemy. You know what I'm saying? I just seen the enemy. And then, like I said, when I saw my brothers today, it's like, hey, brothers, y'all all got it. You know, and I see the enemy, but I know y'all got it. So you know as you know as you know. Just like I said, when you eat turnip green, it's good. You eat the cream potatoes, it's good. The cream corn, it's good till you got a meal. It's just good. And you know when it's good. You just know when you just know as you know.
I get you. Pastor Wallace, now I'm still playing the devil advocate, guys. This ain't me talking. 37. This ain't me talking. This is the devil talking, okay? Look, we know you when you was nothing but a low down, dirty snake and a junkyard dog who were crawling on your belly trying to find something. Now don't try to come up here like somebody got some kind of internal strength that you can overcome the challenges, because we know where you come from. What about that 37?
Well, and if they know so much, then they'll stick around long enough to observe different from what they knew, as opposed to, you know, the change that God put in you.
They can watch and see.
And eventually, they can't keep saying that, well, you still doing this or you still because you won't. God will change you.
Right.
Things will be, you were asking, how will you know? How will you know? You'll know, as Don said, because that Spirit will talk to you. When you go to look to do things that you used to do, and they don't fulfill, they don't bring you pleasure even. They don't do nothing for you. You have no other choice, no other direction to go, but in a different direction. Seeking that fulfillment, seeking that whatever. I mean, so who cares what somebody else is saying? You grow beyond that even.
And it goes back to your heart, right, 37-2? It goes back to you determining for yourself how you're going to serve and how you're going to respond, how you're going to please God and all of his expectations of you. Sometimes people's faith, Don, is even wrapped up in their close friends and family. To the point that they have no direction for themselves. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
A lot of times, what happens is people become afraid that folk are going to rehash what they've been through.
Yep.
Now, Don.
Hmm?
Say I walk down the street and my belt breaks loose and my pants fall down. Right in the middle of the street, Don. Should I be embarrassed? Should I be embarrassed? Don.
Well, if your belt fall and you, whatever happens in that situation, I guess it was meant to be.
I didn't say I didn't have no dogs on, did I?
Uh-oh.
Still was meant to be.
My underwear was dirty, and I didn't understand.
Dun, dun, dun.
Here's the point of my raising that question, Don.
let's say it did, all right, at the end of the day, that circumstance does not determine my tomorrow.
That's
right?
It.
In fact, how I respond to it speaks to my level of character and my ability to survive later. What happened in the past is in your past. Listen at what the text says. Listen at what the text says in Micah, the 7th chapter. Micah 7 and 19. The writer says, he will turn again, and he will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities. I want to put a pen right there. He will subdue. In other words, he will arrest or capture whatever my faults were, whatever my bad habits were. I don't have to be a prisoner to those. He will take those things and, watch this, 37:2, cast them all, those things, in the depth of the sea.
Yep.
Now, if the Almighty has done that for me, why would I go back and dig them back up? Or let some other joker dig them up for me? Why would I do that?
Right.
What's the point of it? But when
and
you
then,
feel like you, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I mean, and it can go both ways. You got somebody who was maybe living a righteous life, and they turn from righteous to wicked. I mean, and it's like, okay, right, we don't even know who you are anymore. Like, why are you doing these things? Or, you know, what's going on with you? So, again, the heart, knowing yourself, knowing what you need to do, trusting God, that's the first step right there.
Absolutely.
Is somebody
we
TV
are,
on? Or?
No, I think Pastor Wallace is out and we'll kind of get Matthew there.
Yes, I am.
It sounds like you're out working and we're getting a little bit of your background conversation there, but that's good.
Nobody's talking. I'm by myself. Nobody's talking.
Yeah,
you're
alone.
Okay,
Don, is that you?
Yeah, it was me, a little bit of the TV. I got it.
Okay.
It was the Weather Channel. I was watching it.
The Weather Channel?
Yeah, but I turned it down.
I got you.
I
you know, 37:2 was saying something earlier, man. I tell you, she was hitting it right on when you was talking about what somebody might say, what someone may think. Mm-hmm. She said that let them continue to watch, observe, and maybe they will be convinced, you know what I mean, that you're living a certain way, unlike the way you once upon a time was living. And I can identify with that because there's a friend of mine, I'm sure, you know, that I can say there was a friend of mine. It wasn't like he was backstabbing or anything. He was just finding it hard to believe that I got free from that stuff that he knew we all loved.
Yeah.
And what he done, he saw me in the ministry now, and that was even increasingly more of a shocking than me saying that I wasn't using drugs no more. Now I'm in the ministry, so he really have a hard time. And so he said he kept watching, and he gave me a percentage. I think I've shared this before. He said 75% he was not for real. 25% he is. But at least he gave me 25%, you know. Possibly could have been. And so he ended up confessing to me. That's how I found out about it. He confessed to me after time went by, and as 37:2, it continued to check, you know, observe, and finally came to himself and realized, man, this man is for real, sure enough. And he came to me and he said, man, I gotta tell you something, man. He said, I gotta tell you, man. He said, I used to say, you know, that you wasn't for real about what you was doing up there. He said, I gave you 75%. You know, that you wasn't. He said, 25% that you was. I said, well, man,
okay.
All right, brother. I said, at least you gave it 25%. So,
right.
You know, and it's amazing how things like that does take place. But I didn't charge him with it. I understood where he was coming from.
Right.
You know, it's
and
not easy to change.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead, 37:2.
I was going to say, sometimes when people see you make a change, it's like self-convicting to them as to, like, man,
that's
I
right.
could have done the same
good
thing.
Point.
I could have done the same thing. So, and for them to give you praise for doing that is like for them to down themselves for them not doing it. They
you're
don't
right.
wish that they could do it.
Pastor, I think you'd agree with me. Yeah, it is. And I think you'd agree with me, Pastor, too. If I don't want to take away from her, I just want to add to what she's saying. In 2:30-72, what happens often is when you are walking in light, you expose darkness.
I
and
love it. Yeah.
That makes people uncomfortable. That makes
yeah.
people
yeah.
uncomfortable.
You sure?
Because you know, every time you come around, you illuminate.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. He come again. Yeah.
But
man.
You're the one keep inviting me. You keep inviting me around. I can't, like, I told you I didn't want to go, but you keep on insisting and hoping that maybe you get me the back flat on something I said I wasn't doing no more.
Right.
And when that don't happen, then you like,
Man,
what's up with you? You just know, like, okay.
Right.
Shit, maybe you need to stop doing that then.
That's a funny thing.
Get on board.
I've had people tell me, say, man, you know, sometimes you come a little too hard. That's the word, the phrase of you, too hard. And I've been trying to understand what that means. He said, because, all of us got some little problems, and we, you know, all of us done something. But maybe you make it seem like we gotta be perfect. You've heard that, haven't you?
Without a doubt.
but ain't that what the word said? You got to be perfect as the Father in heaven is perfect.
Wow,
that's what the text is.
No, yeah, but what they're missing is nobody is perfect. And brother, just like you struggle with seeing a fat woman and getting turned on, I'm a man too. However, I know how to deal with that. I know how to shut inappropriate things down. That's the only difference. We are all human. We all sin. We all are born it. We all fall short. The key, the difference is, me recognizing where my shortcomings are, working on them daily, hour by hour, minute by minute.
37-2? I heard a preacher, he say he was a preacher. He say, I'm a preacher from the waist up.
Okay.
I'm still trying to figure out what that means. Maybe I'm a little stupid, a little slow.
You know what that means. Okay.
But, you know, I don't need him
to pray for me.
Check this out. I think, you know, it's a wonderful thing, you know, to say think on these thoughts. Think on these things, and when you think that positive and you strive and you trust, lean and depend upon the guide of the Lord and follow his direction, you know, that's what's required of fully trusting in him. You got to do it daily, though. So I just like doing it daily. Now, here's the key. Right? The word says, you know, we all have sin, something that was said. Then it went on a little bit further in life when it says these encouraging words about. That's where the trust come in at. He said, whosoever trusts in his own heart is a fool. But whosoever walks wisely shall be delivered. So when I found out those words, I had, I had a fight. I really had a fight within myself to say, okay, now I know he said we were born in sin. Didn't have to do anything. He was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. That means that because they're doing things in one way, that don't define them as a sinner. What he said is that he's born in it. That means that I don't have to do nothing, but I'm caught up in sin. But if you say when you be born again, now that's the part that got you. You know, when you talk about born again, what am I being born again for? And that's where it lies right there. When you say something about what the word says, be ye perfect because your Father in heaven is perfect. So he's saying be mature. So what can cause a person to claim? I just don't claim it. You see what I'm saying? So if a person claims it,
You know how he said when a person thinks it's hard, so is he? So I just say I'm going to stop the righteousness from this point on and let the chips fall where they may, because I know I'm trusting
you know,
the ones each and every day, man. I can't trust him any other day. I got to trust him every day.
Every day. You know, Pastor, the essence of maturity is having experience, knowledge, and understanding, right? And when this is what you're saying, when wisdom, knowledge, and understanding guide your day-to-day action, you're not prone to be made a fool out of, are you? And I think that's why some people make the argument, well, ain't nobody perfect, so you shouldn't strive to be, you know, because we all imperfect. Well, the truth is, as you pointed out beautifully, Pastor, the object is for you to be mature and wise in your thinking and action, your thought and action. And that will keep you from making a lot of mistakes. You know?
Yeah.
It's interesting, 3072, this generation is guided by technology. And what they realize is that there's some things that your smartphone don't know.
No, they don't get that. They don't get that.
Alexis is not going to understand certain things.
Nope.
You know, that's the little device that folk have in the house now. And they tell Alexa, tell them this and tell them that. There's some things Google won't be able to pull up on you.
I think you've seen the smartphone ain't that smart after all, huh?
It ain't just smart.
No, but I want you to answer my question, how does it help these people?
Okay, so, and I'll go back to my monologue, 3072. The first thing, you know, I've learned this as a pastor, that people pretty much have an idea of what they really want in their heart when you come to them.
Yes.
And the best you can do is to offer them an alternative thought to what they've concluded already. It's up to them to use it, though. It's up to them to use it. And so the best way to help these people is to let them know that you may have experienced one thing, A, but here is how you can look at, consider. That's what I mean by processing. Look at everything you say your problem is. Yeah. You're having a problem with what's hurting you.
Yep.
And ask yourself, how did you get there? Were you born with it? Now, if you were born with it, they can't hold you. They can't hold you accountable for that, can they?
Mm-hmm.
I'm fat-headed and good-looking, Don. I can't help that, man. I mean, what can I do about that? That's biological. But look, Don, just because I'm fat-headed and good-looking don't mean I got a right to go around and try to get all the gas. You understand what I'm saying? I can do something about that. But my point is simply that, 3072, when you come to people and they ask for help, you let them know that all I have to offer you is the truth, because the truth will make you
right.
free. How do we get to the truth? Lay all your cards on the table, and let's talk about what's real about it, what's not.
And so your pullback time is when, after you've provided the truth, and maybe reasonable solutions, they're not taking you up on that or applying it, then at that point, I mean, what? I can't stay tied in this here confusion with
you.
You're
done, darling. And listen, 3072, let them know from the beginning, I'm not here to wallow in the mud with you permanently.
No.
I will show you step by step how to get up, but I ain't gonna stay down here with you.
And I mean, it's like me. If I were like in desperate need and I needed somebody's help, I honestly, and they were helping me, I'm gonna feel bad for you to be even having to do what you have to do for me.
Sure.
Whatever
sure.
you do.
Sure.
So no, it is not reasonable, and I judge people based on myself too. Why would I expect you coming over to my house, busting up fights, right, that I keep allowing happen here. Why would I keep
there
putting
you
me through that? And you, my friend.
Exactly.
No, so maybe
so
stop that, having company. Right. Go ahead.
Look, 3072, Don and I are digging a hole, and it takes us 152 shovels of dirt to get the size hole we want.
Mm-hmm.
It's my hole that Don is helping me dig. All I have put up is 10 shovels out of 152. Huh? Don has done 142. What's wrong with that picture?
That's a lot wrong with that picture. Don being taken
Don's
being taken advantage of. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Don is the one that's doing all the work, but he's supposed to be helping me. The reality is that at some point we have to demonstrate again our sincerity and what's in our heart. You understand what I'm saying? And if
yes.
your brother is going to be healed, he and or I'm going to say she must take the lead in making the changes necessary.
Yes, sir.
Now,
yes.
prior to your assistance, they may not have known how to go by doing
sure.
it. That's why
yep.
you be honest
yep.
with them, you be deliberate, and you be focused with them about what you have to offer. Because at the end of the day, unless you're going to take care of it for the rest of their life, I mean, you know what I mean? Even with children, when you're raising children, the object is to teach them to use the discipline and instruction that you gave them for themselves when you are long gone. That's the object of it. Not
no, but some people feel like, yeah, they feel like your help has to be you showing them to the aid office, you taking them,
right.
you sitting
that's
in there with
right.
them, you filling
that's
the application
right.
out with them,
right.
you responding to
right.
the letters for them. You, no, 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 I don't have time for that. Now, if you need a ride, perhaps, yeah, I can drop you off. But, no, I'm not going through the process with you because I have a situation, too. It may not be that situation, but I have things I need to maintain in my life as well, and I'm not asking you to sit through those through with me. I
sure,
wouldn't ask
sure.
you to do that. That's my life.
Great point. You know,
So.
Go ahead. I was going to say, man, look at the time. I was tutoring a gentleman, and he was an adult. He was in his actually late 30s. And he had literacy challenges and numeracy as well. He couldn't read
yeah.
and didn't know how to count too well. Actually knew how to count better than he knew how to read or not. Know how to manage his money anyway. And make a long story short, it came to a point where he says, you know what, I can't keep asking you to read this stuff for me. I want you to show me how to start learning how to read myself. And I said to him, that is very powerful, brother, because that means
yeah.
you're going to have to get past your embarrassment. And you're going to
yes.
have to go back to the rudimentary skills that you learn in kindergarten.
Yes.
That don't mean that you're less than a man and
no.
you're no less worthy of respect, that you have to do that.
Yes.
But
yes.
once you master those skills, guess what? You're right. Won't nobody ever have to read anything to you again.
Nobody. That's right.
Nobody. And the truth of the matter is he advanced quicker because he had lived 3 decades.
Yeah.
And he had
yes.
picked up words and terms, but he never learned how to
yeah.
go look up and he figured out associated certain meanings and things of that nature,
yeah,
but he never
yeah,
formed
yeah.
on how to define things and read and write. And but when he got to that point, he felt better about himself. But to his point, he didn't want me to keep reading to him every time he got ready to deal with some literature and what have you. I appreciated that about the brother. That was
right.
a sure sign to me that he was trying to help himself in that regard.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people will run game. Now, you can come with your heart pure trying to help. But folks
yes.
will run game.
Yes.
They will run
that
game.
Happens to me often. It happens to me
what?
Often.
What? Oh, no.
And I'm just tired of it, to be honest with you, for real. That's why I'm nowhere today, because I have, and I think that's important. I've put other people's before myself all my life. So now I'm on a selfish mode. It's all about me. I'm trying to get things together. I'm trying to get to where I'm trying to go to, never mind where somebody else going. It's about me. It has to be. I mean, again, like I said, I don't want to die a fool. So, yeah, I'm just rediscovering, relearning, redoing everything, being born again, whatever. Whatever it takes is what I'm going to do, is what I'm putting forth.
I'll only offer this to you in our final minutes here, and that is that the truth, if it's hidden, is only hidden to those that are lost, okay?
Yes,
and
sir.
You're right. At some point, a sacrifice is going to be made when you're engaging other people. The lesson that we got from the Savior is this, that if you know what your purpose is and your cause, then it's easy for you to accept the outcome. Now, what he realized, that everybody wasn't going to be saved, Pastor Wallace.
Yeah.
Let me say that one more. Everybody is not going to be saved. You know why? Because everybody don't want salvation. So he said it like this. He said it like this. Whosoever will, I wish I had a witness here tonight. Let them come.
He
subscribed to the doctrine, whosoever will. I'm not going to put a pistol to your head. No. Whoever will, let them come. How about that? Ain't that good news?
That is
perfect.
If they respond to that, that's good news.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
And guess what, Pastor? Even if they don't respond,
it's still good news. Yeah, it's still good news. You know?
It's still good news.
That's right. It is. You know?
Still good news.
And available every day. Brand new every morning.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. That's why the text says, so as a man think in his heart.
Yeah.
You ain't got to worry about trying to figure out what nobody on, because it's going to come out when they open their mouth, when they start acting. You can tell what they're all about.
Very good.
John, I had a gentleman who has a PhD in theology. You know what he said to me? He said, I notice you don't always refer to yourself as Reverend Dockery, and you don't use your titles. Are you ashamed? You know what my response was, don't you, Don? Look, man, it's like wearing a baseball cap. I don't care what kind of cap you have on. If the man under the cap ain't right, you just make the cap look bad. I wish I had a witness right
now.
I want to know and be comfortable with me as a upright man person. Then it doesn't matter what kind of name or title or clothing or philanthropies you may have on. Is that right, Don?
When you walking right, we're going to just assume that you some kind of minister, or you must go to church, or you must, like, well, yeah, but
that.
No, I didn't titleize that.
37-2, yeah. I get that all the time.
I know.
You must be a preacher. you must be a preacher. Well, I would like Jesus when he told Pilate. He asked him, said, are you the son of Jesus? He said, so you, as you say it. I'm paraphrasing the text. He said, you said it. You said it. You recognize it. So that's in order. Look at our Pastor Waller, why you keep playing with the clock, man? We got about 5.5 minutes ago.
Yeah. Gotta move on, man. That's it.
So Don? Don, are you there? Away from the phone. 3072, we're going to kind of wind it down here a little bit.
Okay.
For sharing. sharing with. I what I've got from our conversation is that it is true that patience and honesty will go a long way with helping your brother heal himself. And without those two things, you will only wear yourself out. And when you get through wearing yourself out, as soon as you drop, guess what they're going to do? Step right over you and keep on.
Find the next person that can help out.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And look back, Wallace. Sometimes they look back and say, I knew he wasn't about nothing.
Right.
I knew he wasn't all that.
Couldn't wait to say that.
I was just going to say, Pastor Waller, I'm trying to figure out what kind of dope dealer he could have ever been because his spirit don't read that.
No.
We were talking about walking upright and
wow.
What's in your heart. That's why you're not there no more because that was never in your heart.
Yeah.
I know you did it to the fullest.
That's right.
Go ahead.
I did. Yeah, you're right.
Hold on. 1 second,
yeah.
Pastor. I'm going to have to get her a book down at a quarter because it tells the story, 3072, about how it's a contrast between then and now, really. I think that's the most powerful lesson that young guys can learn. It's a contrast, a mindset between then and now. So, but that's a powerful thing you point out, though. I'm sorry, Pastor Julie.
She's awesome. She sure hit it. I'm telling you, man, she hit it for real, too, right there. I just wanted to share that. Yeah, she deserves a book down there, man. I would buy one myself.
Yeah, I need a book.
Yeah. I'm going to purchase you
that's
one.
Gonna,
get
Pastor,
you one.
That's going to be my gift to her. I'll come grab it, and I'll take care of it. That's going to be my gift to her.
she deserves it, man. By seeing that, she deserves it. I'm telling you.
No, I mean, I'm being honest, though. I mean, you know how some things fit certain people and some things don't, you looking like, why? Why are you, why? That is not you. I don't get that read in no kind of way. Never since I met you.
Well, I want to point something out that you will find, though, in the book, 3072. And that is, he makes the point that as adamant and as hard as he pushes for God to stay, that's just how strong he was in the game back in the day. That's okay. My son read that, and we talked about that. I think I told you about that. We talked about that, and he was like, yeah, well, that's the most important thing I saw out of the book. Okay, all right. man, look at this. Go ahead, Pastor. I'm sorry I cut you off. And we got 2 minutes, Pastor. Go ahead and take us home there. I don't know. Don may have stepped away from the phone.
Yeah. Okay, great conversation. I thank God for everybody who had a chance to talk as well as to listen. You know, the word of God says, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble within. And then the word of God also goes into another level. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And so we just wanted to let it be known that a little go a long way, and we keep stirring it up. And remember, always, it's a pleasure to be able to recognize, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So no matter where you are right now, be content, and God got you covered. That's just the moral of the story. Appreciate the conversation tonight.
Yes, sir. We hate to leave, but we're going to leave, finish out, let the OJ finish us out. And Lord willing, we'll be back next Tuesday. But I know we're not going to be here during the week of Christmas holiday, but we'll be back next Tuesday, Lord willing. But thank you all for joining us for Talk Straight. www.bfcinstitute.com is our webpage. Go there, support us, and help us to get our traveling lecture going there across urban America there. Thank you again to all of you, and we will be back on next Tuesday.